Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Morgan Stanley, who helped Uber raise capital to rethink transportation. Capital creates more mobility. More at morganstanley.com/Uber. Morgan Stanley & Co., LLC, member SIPC.
Alphabet's Google is ready to shake up the ride-sharing industry. How Google Waze could lead the way.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, this is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in the newsroom in New York. So the latest on the ride-sharing front has Google set to significantly expand a carpool service on its popular navigation app, Waze. Its targeted launches of Waze carpool service in several cities over the next several months. It's already been testing in the San Francisco Bay Area, but could you soon be heading to work via Waze carpool service is the question. And here with more is the Wall Street Journal's Jack Nickis, patching in from San Francisco. Hey, Jack, welcome.
Hello.
So Google is sort of making its way into a competitive space here. You think of ride sharing, you think of Uber and Lyft, obviously. Those are the two main forces in this space. How will Google Waze be different?
So yes, Google is pushing into the ride sharing industry with its Waze navigation app, but it doesn't want to be effectively an on-demand taxi service like Uber and Lyft are, but it wants to be a carpool service. So instead of having people drive their cars like professionals and picking up folks to bring them to work or to bring them to the bar or whatever it is, Waze really wants to focus on regular drivers who are already using the Waze navigation app, who could pick up a stranger on the way to wherever they're going. And Waze says that it's going to use its, internal algorithms to figure out ways to make sure that regular drivers don't go too far out of their way, but they can earn a little extra cash on the way to wherever they're already going.
Mm-hmm. That's a really, that's a different twist, shall we say. On the ride-hailing front, what's in it for Waze riders? What's the main selling point here?
Well, for them, it's certainly price. You could say, why not just stick with Uber and Lyft? Because, these are proven services. They probably are going to be a little bit more efficient. We do have to say that Waze carpool does require you to request rides probably hours in advance, and sometimes no drivers accept. But so far, the rides are much, much cheaper. So I took a ride with a Waze carpool driver on Tuesday morning, and from downtown Oakland to downtown San Francisco, the ride costs $4.50. Now, the same trip on Uber's and Lyft's cheapest ride-sharing options, that's Uber Pool and Lyft Line, those cost $10.57 and $12.40, respectively. Mm. And a subway ride from that distance, which obviously involves some walking as well, cost $3.45. So it was only about a buck more. So it is significantly cheaper, and that, in large part, is because that Waze has riders paying drivers just 54 cents a mile, and that is basically the cap for the payment to drivers. And that number was chosen because it's the IRS's reimbursement rate for business travel with a personal car. So Waze's strategy here is, of course, they want to make it cheap for riders to accept potentially this lower level of service. And they also want to prevent drivers from using this service as their main source of income. And also they want to kind of evade potential regulatory scrutiny, which has been a big issue for Lyft and Uber. They don't want to make this to be an unregulated taxi service. They want to make it, kind of like hitchhiking.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like they'd have an easier path taking the carpool route here. I guess that does make a difference in terms of traffic and all sorts of things.
Right. So regulators, have been very wary of Lyft and Uber, and those companies have been waging their own regulatory battles in, most markets they go into. But Noam Bardeen, the CEO, told me, the CEO of Waze, told me that governments have really embraced Waze carpool and actually are trying to attract the service to their cities because it could reduce traffic. And they're offering things such as free parking, subsidies, access to carpool lanes, et cetera, for people who use this service. Wow. And one indication of where this service could end up next is potentially Sao Paulo, Brazil, where Noam Bardeen said he recently met the mayor.
We're speaking to the Wall Street Journal's Jack Nickis about Google Waze expansion into ride-sharing service. You're listening to the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
This podcast is sponsored by HSBC. When it's time to take your business international or take your international presence to a whole new level, HSBC has the network to connect you to the world. Search HSBC International to learn more.
Thanks for joining us. And we can't talk about cars without checking in on the autonomous car front. Does Google's backing for Waymo, Alphabet's self-driving car firm, play into these new happenings here?
Well, it certainly could. I mean, we have to say that, you know, Waze having the backing of Google is a huge advantage. Obviously, not only is it a financial advantage, but it has access to, you know, potentially using Google Maps to maybe augment its reach. Mm-hmm. And there is, of course, Waymo, which is making self-driving technology for cars. And, you know, Noam Bardeen, the CEO of Waze, even told me, he said maybe at the end of the day, instead of a neighbor picking you up, maybe a robot picks you up.
Wow. I think it's approaching faster than we're all ready for. Jack, thank you as always. Fascinating stuff.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Jack Nickus for joining us. For more on his story, check out WSJ.com/tech. That'll do it for this edition of the Tech News Briefing. For the Wall Street Journal, I'm Tanya Bustos in the newsroom in New York. Thanks for listening.
For more podcasts, check us out at WSJ.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.